Today on The Journey.
If we're going to teach our kids what it means to follow Jesus Christ and follow hard after him, we got to have our spiritual act together, and you only do that when you're in the Word. We got to be on the same page, and you only do that when you're in the Word together. And we got to be instructing our kids.
Do you desire to be a godly mom or dad and just need some scriptural guidance to help you along the way? Well, in this half hour, Ron Moore shares some practical, biblical steps that will direct you and your family in the paths of righteousness.
Just before that, I want you to know about our free offer for this series. It's the booklet titled, What the Bible Says About Marriage, Divorce, Living Together, and Homosexuality. You can order it at ronmoore.org, and I'll tell you more about it after the message.
Now here's Ron with part two of God's Design for Parenting on The Journey.
Father, thank you that you're a God who loves us with amazing grace. We thank you that our sins are gone. We've been set free. We thank you that we don't have to wallow in the guilt of past sin. If we're doing that, Father, it's not because you want us to. You've taken our sins and you have separated them as far as the east is from the west. You have hurled them into the depths of the sea. You have put them behind your back. You say, you remember our sins no more. And we pray, Father, that we would be those who live with the freedom that only comes from you. So be with us, Father, as we look at your word today. Teach us, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. We've been involved in a series of sermons called Family Under Attack, and our purpose has been very simple and straightforward. One, we want to make sure every family knows what God has in mind regarding the marriage and family relationship. We want to look at Scripture. We always begin there. Then we want to apply what we learn to our life, because we have way too many Christians who have a head full of knowledge, but it's not going down to their heart, and it's not coming out their hands. Knowledge and application. We, in this series, have considered God's design for family. That's where it starts. We've considered biblical sexuality, something that blows up a lot of families. We've looked at the attack on the structure, divorce. We looked at the attack on the structure, living together, and the attack on design, homosexuality. Last time, we started talking about parenting. And we lay down five things we need to know about parenting. Let me review these real quick. The first thing was this. Children are a gift from God. Psalm 127, verse 3, children are a gift of God. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Not a mistake, not a surprise. Children are a gift from the sovereign God. Secondly, parents have to have their spiritual act together. There is nothing that looks us in the eye as that little baby and says, you better grow up. It's not just about you anymore. And it's not just about you and your wife anymore. God has blessed you with a child, an eternal soul. The primary molder of that little boy and that little girl is you, parents. We got to get our spiritual act together. Three, the best thing you can do for your child is to be committed to their mother and their father. We want to make sure that marriages stay together. If you don't believe that's the best thing you can do, just check out on Amazon, The Unexpected Legacy of Divorce, 25-year secular study of those who have been divorced and the things that come up in their life. Now, I know that some of you have been divorced and you say, that's like rubbing salt into my wounds. Well, there are a lot of things you can do by God's forgiveness to help your child work through some of that. But I want to talk today to those who are not divorced and maybe even contemplating that. If you think for one second that's the best thing to do for your child, you are sadly mistaken. Number four, be the parent. You're not the child's best friend. You're not the child's taxi driver. You're not the child's registration person. You are the parent. So be the parent. And five, parenting is modeling and mentoring. At the end of the day, it is show and tell. Here is what we share with our children, and that is either confirmed or denied by our actions, because actions truly do speak louder than words. Now, what I want to do today is something just a little different. Instead of doing a sermon, today we're doing a family parenting workshop. What I want to do is to get just as practical as I can. I want to give you things today that will help you in raising your children. Now, there are no guaranteed formulas. So I'm not going to say these things will guarantee how your kid turns out. No guaranteed steps for parenting success. But here are some things that you need to do so your children have a great spiritual foundation. Number one, carve out time and guard the time for couple and family devotions. The best thing you can do, we said, is to keep your marriage together. And the best thing you can do to keep your marriage together is to submit it, both husband and wife together, before God. Get in God's Word. Hear what God says. How in the world do we think we can raise our kids on our own? How in the world do we think we can raise the kids God wants us to raise if we're not seeking Him each day to help us? Not just in the big decisions. When you're raising a kid, every day has big decisions. And when your kids get older, they're going to call you up one day and they're going to want some spiritual advice. And you better not just be talking off the top of your head. Research shows that 95% of evangelical couples, that's us, 95% do not read Scripture together. Now, why is that? One, when you're reading God's Word together, Hebrews says, the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates. It lets us know who we are and where we are. And when you pray with your spouse, it's not like you're coming to a prayer meeting, praying Christianese all around and impressing people. He knows you better than anyone on this earth. She knows you better than anyone on this earth. You are at your most vulnerable place, aren't you? Before the God who knows everything about you, next to the person who knows everything about you from a human standpoint. So many couples say, yeah, too vulnerable for me. I'm not going to do it. But we are challenging you to begin couple devotions and family devotions today. When I was working on my doctorate long ago in marriage enrichment, in the research, we were told to read until you hear echoes, and echoes meant the same thing over and over. And so I was reading about a couple devotions, learned 95% don't do it. And in the research, it said, when you're encouraging couples to do family devotions, don't have them read Scripture together. And I thought, that's a little weird. That almost sounds heretical. But then I read again, don't have them read Scripture together. So I thought, what's behind this? Here's what's behind it. If both of you go right to Scripture, what's going to happen? One of you becomes a teacher, and one of you becomes a student. So here you are, coming before God, want to be on the same page, hearing from Him, but one person says, oh, in the Bible study this week, here's what I learned. This is what this verse means. Here's how you should apply it. And the other person goes past it because they become the student. I learned that the hard way in seminary. When Laura and I would do a couple devotions, and I'd come and say, hey, here's what I learned in seminary today. Here's what the teacher say. This is the deal. And there wasn't a lot of discussion going on. So get a devotion so that you can be on the same page and hear from someone else. The Journey Ministry, we've tried to do as many resources as we can for families during this Family Under Attack series. And one of the things we put out is Journey Through the Bible. And you can jump in any day. You don't have to start on January 1. There's a verse at the beginning, and we just go through the Bible. You could read that together. You can see what I say. I would count it a privilege to be a part of that. And then you can look at each other and say, man, he is so off base on this one. I can't even, what was he thinking about when he wrote this? And then you can discuss it together. So I can be the third person. And then together, you can talk about it and discuss it. We have it on PDF. So you can be traveling and you can get it on PDF and you can call your husband or wife and you can say, hey, here's the verse today. What do you think about that? What do you think about what he said? Let's talk about it. 5 minutes over the phone. Let's make sure we are around God's Word. Then on Sunday nights, you could bring your kids together. We used to do this on Sunday nights. We'd have a weekly meeting to get together for our schedules, and then we would do a devotion together. Read God's Word, discuss it, think about it. And you can use this as well. You can use your own devotion. But the bottom line is get in God's Word. Again, you don't want to use that. There are a lot of them out there. But there's no excuse for us as couples and as parents not to have devotions together. Now, I'm not standing up here saying Lori and I did it perfectly. I'm not saying that. But I am saying, if we're going to teach our kids what it means to follow Jesus Christ and follow hard after him, we got to have our spiritual act together. And you only do that when you're in the Word. We got to be on the same page. And you only do that when you're in the Word together. And we got to be instructing our kids. Let me show you a couple verses here. 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 15. Paul is writing to a spiritual son of his, young Timothy. He says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of." Now, why was Timothy convinced of this? Why was Timothy convinced of God's word? Here's our answer. Because you know those from whom you learned it. You know those from whom you learned it. Who do you think those people were? His family. He learned it and he was convinced of it because those people he trusted most on earth, those people who were nourishing him and providing for him and caring for him, were also teaching him the Word of God. So he trusted them. And check this out. "How from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures." Man, wouldn't you love it if one day someone looked at your child and said, "Man, from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures." Now, we cannot save our children. We cannot make our children trust in Christ, can we? But when we are getting them in the Word, and when we are living out the Word, and when we are on the same page as a mom and a dad, we can, the Scriptures do, make them wise for salvation in Jesus Christ. We can't save them, but we can sure let them know what it means to trust in Jesus Christ. Ball's in your court. Parents, we've got to make sure we are those who are teaching our children. Let's look at another verse. We've seen this one before. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7, the Old Testament, Shema, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength." Who's he talking to? He's talking to parents. He's talking to the leaders of the home. First, you have to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. "And these words I command you shall be on your heart." You have to be living it out. You have to be demonstrating it. Then what happens? When you have something, then what can you do? Pass it on, right? "You shall teach them diligently to your children." Thoroughly, persistently. Carefully to your children. That's not saying turn it over to the youth pastor. It's not saying turn it over to the Christian school teacher. You parents have to make certain you are in the Word. You have to make certain you're grounded, because you can't pass on anything you don't have. You cannot impart what you do not possess. So you've got to be involved in family devotions. And again, we will do what's important. "You don't have time, you know, we're so busy." Baloney. You will do what's important. And so take a resource like this or another resource and make sure as a couple you're together and as a mom and dad. Last one, critical thing. You're the parent, right? You need to guide your children through the process of making the right choices regarding life partners. Them coming to Christ is the most important thing. Knowing how and being discerning in finding a life partner is the second one. And the decision they make regarding that is going to either end up in great blessing or tremendous difficulty. A few years ago, when we were thinking about starting multi-sites, we went to a conference, and the people at the conference used an acronym, IPOD, to help guide you when you started a multi-site campus. And we've used that here. But I was thinking about this in terms of helping us as parents and helping young adults and teenagers determine who they will engage in relationship with. So let me go through these, and then we'll have some time here to have a little interaction with the congregation. iPod. The I is initial. Initial is, this represents the starting point. These are the things that have to happen in the relationship. These are the non-negotiables. These are the showstoppers. The relationship does not start unless these things exist. P is preferred. These are things that would be ideal, things you desire in a relationship. They're not showstoppers, but they are serious considerations when you're thinking about a relationship, when you're ready to take it to the next level. O is optional. You could go either way on these. Discretionary things, an elective thing, available but not obligatory. And D is denied. Showstopper. There's a character trait. There's a bad habit. There's an annoyance. That if that exists, this is not going to go any further. If that person did this thing or acted this way, done. Now, I may learn that 6 months into the relationship. But if it shows up, I'm done. Now, if you're married, that's a different story. But I'm done in that relationship. We have had a tremendous time using this to talk to our children. We had some fascinating conversations. Preferred, optional, denied. So let's talk about it a little bit. Let's just think about this together, all right? We have a little forum here. All right, so initial, what are the things you have to have in a relationship? Just call it out. Have to have. Okay, got to be a believer. So if you're a believer, you say, if they are not a believer, I'm not going to date them. I'm not going to even start the emotional attachment to them. Initial has to be a believer. What else?
Honesty.
So if I know they are not a person of character, I know they're not a person of honesty, I'm not going to mess with it. What else?
Respect.
If I know in our friendship time that they haven't demonstrated respect, not just to me, but to other people, maybe their parents, maybe a teacher. If they're not willing to demonstrate appropriate respect, I'm not going to start. What else? Conservative. Said by a true Republican. Conservative. I ain't dating anyone and ain't conservative. Good. Okay, good. So for that person, and we can differ on some of these things, under believer, but for that person, that is important. You want to be on the same page, right? What else? Good work ethic. I need someone, yeah, who's going to support the family or whatever role is both of us working or home. What are we going to do? We got to have good work ethic. What else? Forgiveness. All right. Willing to forgive, not holding grudges. They got to believe in prayer. They got to be on the same page we are spiritually. All right, let's move on. P, preferred. Don't have to have it, but you would prefer it.
Attractive.
For sure. Now, for me, that was in the initial. But okay, that's preferred. You certainly would prefer that. Right? What else?
Smart,
okay? Do you want them to be smart? Preferred for you. Good. What else?
Funny.
You want to have a good time. That's great. What else?
Kind,
okay? What else?
Sorry?
Just kidding. Good listener. Great, great. Okay, good. So again, you're going through this, and if that person's not a good listener, you got to say, I prefer that they are. I don't know if I want to continue. What else? Compassion. Okay, great. Great one. What are their aims or goal in life? Are they industrious? Are they lazy? Are they going to be someone, again, that you prefer that they're going to be a hard worker? Okay, optional. Blonde or brunette? Okay, that's definitely optional. And that may change as the years go on, too. You know, you never know. What else?
Muscles.
Okay. At least some of us out. Some of my kids said likes coffee. That for them, that was important. It's optional. What else? Optional.
In-laws.
Athletic.
In-laws.
That ain't optional. They're going to have in-laws. Okay, let's go to the last one. You guys are out of control. Denied. Denied. What's the D? Denied. I will not even start a relationship if I know this, or if I learn it 6 months in, I am done. Drugs. Excessive use of alcohol, whatever.
Cheating.
If I learn, okay, one, hey guys, one at a time. If I learn that they are dishonest, that's it. Again, I learned this 6 months in. I learned this the day before we're going to get married. Done. It doesn't matter if you lose some money on the reception. It honestly doesn't matter. Violent. Do you think 5 years into a marriage, a person realized that they married someone abusive? It happened in the dating relationship. They heard things said. So if you're in a dating relationship, I don't care where you are in it, if someone raises their voice or threatens to strike you away, you are done. You walk out of there. That's it. Because if you think they're going to change, they are not. Alcohol. They're having trouble with alcohol when you're dating them? You think they're going to stand up here, exchange rings, and then they're not going to have trouble with alcohol? These are things that are denied. You just do not enter into a relationship with that. Okay, what else?
Lazy.
If they're lazy, that's it. So again, these are great opportunities for you to work through your children. We've had some great discussions regarding these and thinking about this has to happen. Preferred, optional, and denied. Parents, you're the parent. Your kids are your responsibility. Enjoy them. Love them. Have fun with them. And diligently teach them how to follow hard after Jesus Christ. And teach them what it means to serve Him and serve and love others.
Are you concerned about our society's drift away from lifelong commitment in marriage? Do you worry about that influence on your children's view of matrimony? And just what is God's design for marriage anyway? Well, those concerns are addressed in Ron Moore's free guide titled, What the Bible Says About Marriage, Divorce, Living Together, and Homosexuality. In this publication, Ron conducts a grace-filled examination of the issues that are crippling our families and dividing our society. Drawing from landmark studies and biblical instruction, he offers encouragement for those seeking to build a God-honoring home. What the Bible Says About Marriage, Divorce, Living Together, and Homosexuality is yours free of charge as a digital download. You'll find it at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018, 724-731-2018. Plus, we invite you to have a look at our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our worship services and special events, along with Ron's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is biblechapel.org, biblechapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on The Journey.